Recordings have started. Please go ahead.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this Working Party 3, meeting number 3 on July the 10th. And I sent you an agenda for this call 50 minutes before the call, actually, and I apologize for the show notice. And I also sent a couple of documents that drafted. I don't expect that you have reviewed those documents in this very short notice. But our agenda item number 3 would be mainly reviewing those draft proposals and discussing them. So, well, as usual, the roll call would be based on those who are attending the call through the AW Connect room. And if there's anyone that is not in the AW Connect room and that is attending the call through the phone bridge at this point, could you please state your name so we can add it to the roll call? Okay. So we have had some action items from past calls, and I believe that we have completed all action items. The only action item from our last call, I believe, was uploading the document that I sent to the list to the wiki, and that has been done already. The action items from call 1 were also completed, and one of the most important action items in my mind was having the subgroups populated by the different volunteers. And as far as I can tell, we have already 9 people volunteering for the different working groups. Of course, I thank you for volunteering. And we do have a group that has only 2 people in it, which is a diversity group. So if anyone wants to add their name to the diversity subgroup, that would be a lot of help because, of course, everybody's overwhelmed with the load of work that we need to carry in this very short time. So the more hands we have in each subgroup, the more easy it will be for us to carry out what the task we've been commanded. So if you want to add your name to these subgroups, it would be very useful. I see Greg's comment that the staff council group only had to... Oh, yes, you're right. I'm sorry. I was confused. It's not the diversity group. Instead, it's the staff accountability that is that only has two volunteers. Thank you for pointing that out, Greg. And yes, when I said diversity, I meant staff accountability. So yes, being staff accountability a subject that has been widely discussed and that has raised so many concerns, I would have expected to have more people volunteering for the subgroup, so please don't be shy and join the subgroup. So, as I said, I sent a couple of draft proposals. The first one is the ASO AC draft proposal on the inventory, based on the inventory that I sent on our last call, and I developed this two-page document, which I would very much appreciate your feedback and comments on it. And you can see that it, of course, contains very much the same information that I sent you in the preliminary inventory of mechanisms of existing mechanisms for ASO AC accountability. It also explains a little bit the scope of our work and why are we looking into this ASO and AC accountability issue. And it closes by suggesting four actions that should be taken into account by the CCWG when building their next proposal. And the first one is to amend our current draft document to include in our next proposal the commitment to have each SOAC perform a complete review of their existing accountability mechanisms as part of Workstream 1 tasks to be implemented after the transition takes place. The second one is to include the evaluation of the proposed mutual accountability roundtable as part of Workstream 2. If you remember, Willie suggested a mutual accountability roundtable, and I believe that Jan supported that exercise. And I feel that maybe having this mutual accountability roundtable option examined and reviewed in more into more detail would be very useful as part of the Workstream 2 work that we need to undertake on our next phase in this working group. Point number three would be to establish a commitment to carry a detailed working plan on enhancing SO and AC accountability as part of Workstream 2. And lastly, to clarify that IRP should be applicable to SOs and AC's activities as well. So at this point, I would open the floor for comments and thoughts on this draft that we have on our screen. And of course, welcome any comments that you may have. I see Jen's hand is up. Jen, could you please take the floor?
Jen's mind is not really working too well yet, but I'll do my best. Good morning from Britain. Anyway, it looks great, Leon. Thank you. That's really nicely put together at short notice. One thought was whether there would also be a review in the documentation, a review of the SOAC documents themselves, the SOAC rules and procedures. Whether it would be part of the review that would be undertaken now. I know we haven't done it yet, but you've listed those three sets of documents. Do we also have a fourth that we should look at this stage? And the other point was simply to say Mathieu did circulate something yesterday which had some specific provisions about SOAC accountability. Did you look at that and decide that that was not something to incorporate here?
Thank you very much, Jen. I did see Matthew's proposal, and I think as well as your proposal on focusing on some aspects. It's not that I considered that they were not important. It's just that I have very little time to set this up. So the intent, of course, of discussing these two drafts in this call is to have them refined by the rest of the volunteers in each subgroup. So, yes, I would definitely include Matthew's suggestions and their suggestions to this draft, but I would really appreciate if anyone could lend a hand incorporating those aspects into this document. So, of course, now that you have these documents on hand, it would be great if you could help me add those considerations into the suggestions or into the body of the document itself. And I do agree that we need to take a look at the fourth set of documents, which is the procedural documents on SOAs and ACs. And I apologize for not considering this in this draft. But yes, I was just loaded with work from not only ICANN but also my day-to-day job, so I wasn't able to go through this fourth document. So feel free to go to the document and incorporate any provisions that you may consider important for this draft paper.
And Leon, I wouldn't want you to be overloaded with all the work you're already doing so much on this. And I'm sure other people on the SOAC subgroup, I'm sure we'd be happy to help and look through those. I don't have access to that paperwork, and I don't know whether staff have already made it available or whether we need to get it or how we get it. That is the SOAC documentation.
Thank you very much, Jim. I believe that staff circulated or at least included in the reading list this set of documents from each SONAC. It's a list, as far as I can tell, on the different documents and papers that regulate, of course, each SONAC's procedures. And it has links to the specific documents in this list, so I think that maybe having staff reminding us and sending again this compilation of documents would be very helpful, so we can all go through the different documents in detail. So I would kindly ask staff to add that as an action item for the staff. And I saw Cheryl's hand was up, and it suddenly just went down, so I'm not sure if, Cheryl, would you want to add something to this?
No, in fact, you covered it. I was just going to mention that not only were they circulated, but, of course, each of the ACs and SOs have a wiki page or web page associated with the .icann.org space, and they're all found there as well. That's all.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. Are there any other comments or suggestions as to how we could refine this draft document that we have on the screen? Okay, so the next question would be, are there any objections on the 4 points that so far are being suggested as the conclusion of our work with regards to SONAC accountability? Of course, this would this could vary with regards to or depending on the review of the documents that we just discussed. And I see Alan Gruber's hand is up. Alan, could you please take the floor?
Yeah, thank you. The documents within ICANN are going to demonstrate to what extent we have rules, which presumably we follow, governing how each part of the operation works. You know, and that goes for the ALAC. There's RALO rules. There's a whole bunch of nested things, sometimes nested quite deep. That will show that we have rules. They don't necessarily show that we follow the rules. And they don't show how we are accountable to anything wider than the people who are actually active participants. So, as an example, there's a business constituency in the GNS, within part of the GNSO. That's a very, very tiny subset of the business operations in the world. To what extent do we claim, and to what extent do we want to be able to claim that in each of the cases the participants in the ICANN process actually are embody a real, I'm not sure what the right word is, a subset that maps to the real community outside. And to what extent do we want to be able to do that?
Thanks, Alan. I agree with you. We have a lot of nested regulations or rules that they are there, but that doesn't mean that they are being followed. As a matter of fact, when we go through the next document with regards to staff accountability, you will see that most of the references that we find in not only the affirmation of commitments and bylaws and ATRT recommendations are kind of exactly nested rules that that should apply for staff, but they are not clearly stated as to be applicable to staff. So I do agree that we might as well need to be more clear as to which rules and how they are applicable to ETSO and AC. Next in the queue, I have Abri. Abri, could you please take the floor?
Hi, Abri speaking. And just beginning to have sort of initial thinking on some of these and on your document. In one thing, I guess there, in what Alan said, I think there were two issues. One of them is, do we all have a consistent set of rules? Now, at the moment, because of the relationship of the SOs and ACs, there's not only, as Alan said, the accountability to the broader business community, to the broader NGO community, or whichever we're proposing, you know, there's the registrar community, what have you. There's, in some sense, how do we even determine that? In some cases, it might be easy. It was like registrars because there's a fixed body in terms of businesses or NGOs. It's indefinitely large. But part of that is in that whole cycle of board reviews and the board sort of oversight of the SOs and ACs. And so I think we have to, in doing an analysis of to what degree are they accountable now and how do we determine it, we have to include that review cycle as part of it. Now, we also have to include, I guess, in that analysis that the effectiveness of the review cycle depends a lot on the model we've got. If we've got a model where the board has authority over the SOs and ACs in some sense, like we do now, yes, we're bottom up, but because of the review cycle, we also need to respond, then that counts for one, you know, that counts in one way. If, on the other hand, we've moved to a model where the board does not oversee the SOACs because they are the members that oversee the board, then we have possibly a different way of looking at whether the reviews that the board does count in terms of the accountability. So that's one set of issues that I wanted to throw into it. I personally don't think that this group, and maybe I misunderstood, needs to look at the issue of how good are they at doing it now. You know, that has to be dealt with in different ways, but I don't see us doing that kind of analysis. The other issue I've got was, or question I've got is on four, clarifying that IRP should be applicable. At the moment, I think it's fairly clear that it isn't. And so it seems to me that it's more than a clarification. It would be retesting the IRP in such a way that it would be. Now, one of the things that we have to deal with at that point is, are these foundational documents that the ACs, SOs have, they're defined in the bylaws, but then they also have their whole operating procedures. To what extent is that sufficient for IRP? How, you know, is the same standard of injury applicable, et cetera. So I think that clarify is probably far too simple a word. The other issue is there an escalation procedure? At the moment, in terms of getting to IRP, there's, you know, reconsiderations and such before that. If we're making the IRP the first level, A, is that appropriate? B, is that a different workloading on an IRP? How does that change? The whole issue of how do you pay for it is an issue. So I think we have issues there. The other part that we don't have is one of the places that the ombudsman has done a lot of work and this, I know we're not really talking about the ombudsman until Workstream 2, but one of the places that the ombudsman does a lot of work is in that arbitrating issues, intra SO or AC issues. I don't know how much he does it. I know within the NCSG, there's certainly been accountable sometimes. I don't know within the larger GNSO whether he ever has. But so is that an ingredient in all of this as well? So those are just some of the questions I had on a first reading of it all. Right.
Thank you very much, Avery. These are very useful comments. And I would definitely encourage you to help me enrich the document with, if not the questions themselves, maybe your views on how we could address those questions and build them into our proposal document. And with regards to, for example, the ombudsman role, I see it, and this is, of course, my personal understanding, that while he is, or his role is to mediate between different people within the ICANN structure, I'm not sure I could interpret that his role is in itself an accountability mechanism, but rather just a mediation mechanism. But yes, I mean, it's true that we would need to maybe refine or enhance the ombudsman role with regards to this type of mediation. So next on the queue, I have Greg Chesson. Greg, can you please take the floor?
Thank you, Leon. Greg Chatton, for the record. I think one other resource to consider adding to this document would be the organizational reviews, since I think they at least touch on issues of accountability within the organization and may, in fact, be accountability mechanisms as reviews, you know, should tend to be. So there's the, for instance, the GNSO review, which was done by Westlake Governance and which is currently in a public comment period. Whatever you think about how well or appropriately done that review was, it seems that it should be a resource, and its predecessors and its the similar reviews that have been done and will be done for the other organizations and structures would probably seem to be an essential part of this overall picture. So I would suggest that they be added as well. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Greg. Next on the queue, I have Alan Greenberg. Alan?
Yeah, thank you. Just a further comment from Avery on the ombudsman. The ombudsman, I think, is a very large part of this because although the ombudsman does do things like mediation, his formal role is really in addressing disputes often associated with fairness. That is an AC or SO, or staff for that matter, exercising the rules they have fairly and evenly across the community, or are they treating one group of people or one person differently than the others, which essentially says they're not following their rules. So I think it does come, the ombudsman does play a very large part of this. We may not be looking at modifying what the ombudsman does and enlarging the scope until Workstream 2, but from the point of view of monitoring process and making sure that we are, in fact, accountable and following the rules we put in place, the ombudsman does play a very large part of that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alan. Okay, so Once we have the notes from staff sent to the list, I will definitely look into incorporating the comments that you kindly just made in this call. But I will also encourage that now that you have the documents in your inbox, maybe you could add your comments or your views yourselves to the document. And I don't know which would be the best way to collaborate or build this document in a collaborative manner. I don't know if you feel comfortable working on a document, maybe a Word document, or let's say maybe I should set up a Google document in which we all could fill in our contributions. Maybe I would call for a quick agreement. Do you want me to set up a Google document so we can all collaborate and make our contributions into that document? Please signal me with a green tick if you agree, or with a red cross if you don't, and you would feel more comfortable working on a Word document. Okay, so far I have three green ticks and one red cross. Okay. Well, I have a majority of green ticks, so I will definitely set up the Google document and circulate the link to all of you in the list so we can contribute our thoughts and contributions in a collaborative manner. Now I would ask staff to please display the document on staff accountability. Thanks. So the staff accountability draft paper that we have in the screen also reflects some of the comments made in the discussion starter that Matthew drafted, and I have incorporated some of the views, of course tweaked some of the words, and made an initial assessment of the different existing mechanisms and inventory. And this, of course, might be incomplete since I didn't go through the fourth set of documents that relate to the different SOs and ACs that staff circulated. And while I wouldn't expect to find a lot of mechanisms in those documents, we would definitely need to go through those documents as well to see if there is any reference with regards to how staff would be or could be held accountable to the different SOs and ACs. And so the documents reviewed were as well the ICANN bylaws, the affirmation of commitments, and the ATRT1 and ATRT2 final recommendations. And with regards to the affirmation of commitments, what I'm commenting here is that although the affirmation of commitments include these key commitments for ICANN, the organization, these commitments are centered in commitments that must be undertaken by the board of directors and not necessarily by staff. And this is where we can see the issue that Alan was raising, that we have nested regulations or nested rules that, while applicable directly or explicitly to board, they should also be applicable to staff. But however, we don't have this explicit wording as to whether these commitments would be applicable to staff. We only have, as far as I could find, we only have paragraph 9.1E from the affirmation of commitments, in which it refers directly to staff and how it would be held accountable to the board of directors and the community. In the ATRT recommendations, I did not find any particular recommendation that refers or relates directly to staff accountability, but rather only to board actions that need to be undertaken by staff. And, to my understanding, this doesn't exactly mean that staff could be held accountable to either staff or the larger community. And within the bylaws, I found some articles which are listed here. Article 4, Section 2.2A, 2.3F, Article 5, Section 2, and Article 13, Section 4. And worldwide, they do establish certain aspects of accountability with regards to staff in these articles and sections. And but of course, I think they don't address the concerns raised by the larger community and also our working group. So the three steps that I am suggesting that the CCWG takes is, of course, review our current document so we can, for example, maybe extend those mechanisms that we are proposing to staff where applicable, and also include a work plan as part of Workstream 2. That considers the creation, for example, of a code of conduct, the establishment of transparency criteria to be followed by staff in relation to their interactions with all stakeholders, and the establishment of regular independent, either internal plus community surveys or audits to track progress and identify the areas where we could improve. Mm-hmm. And establish appropriate processes to escalate issues that enable both community and staff members to raise issues. And lastly, establish a commitment to carry a detailed working plan on enhancing staff accountability as part of Workstream 2. So now I would like to again open the floor for comments and thoughts on these suggestions. So, Abby, I see your hand up.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. This is Abby speaking. One thing on staff accountability, which I think fits, but I'm not positive. One of the things with staff accountability is they are very often the only ones who actually know what's going on inside the staff and inside the operations of ICANN. Now, because staff is, you know, generally beholden to their bosses and trying to hold on to their jobs, you know, they are, in one sense, obligated to reveal what they know about what's going on, especially in accountability structure. But in another part, they cannot do that unless there's extremely good, you know, call it whistleblowing, call it something else, if that name is bothersome, that basically puts them in a position to actually safely and securely report what they know about what's going on. Now, ATRT 2 and previous you know, accountability documents that ICANN dealt with have discussed the whistleblowing. The whistleblowing was part of the ATRT 2 recommendations, and it's something that is in that pending pile for ATRT 2 implementation. In this case, it was just a review, so let's just find out whether the method they've got is a workable one. But I think that whole whistleblowing aspect for the staff, I think it should be part of our accountability package, but I want to make sure that other people think so too, because it's slightly different sounding, but I do think it's an integral part. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Harvey. This is, in fact, a very good idea. maybe we should be thinking on adding to the suggestions this plan on whistleblowing, as you suggest. I think it's a great idea, so thank you for bringing it up. Are there any other comments or thoughts with regards to this first draft from the staff accountability? Okay, I see no one raising their hand. So I will do the same thing with this paper as that for SONEC accountability. I will set up a Google Doc. So those who are volunteering for staff accountability can provide their input, and we can build our proposal in a collaborative manner. I also remind you and encourage you to join this subgroup of staff accountability. We only have two people now, so the more hands we have, the easier that it'll be for us to have a better work done. Our next agenda item is the discussion on diversity. I wasn't able to set up a paper on diversity. I went through Sebastian's comment, which I find very useful. I don't know if all of you were able to go through Sebastian's comments. So I see we have Sebastian on the call, and I don't know, Sebastian, if you would like to begin the discussion on diversity. I'm sorry to put you on the spotlight as this, but since you are the author of the comment, I thought that you might be willing to kickstart this discussion with explaining us your comment to the large group. Okay, so he's telling me that he can't talk. Okay, no problem. So, well, Sebastian's comment covers pretty much the aspect of diversity with regards not only to regional aspects, but also to some other different criteria, such as, for example, gender balance, which I think it's very important. Also, age, for example. I remember seeing also... okay, so it was age, gender, region, and, of course, the different stakeholder groups or stakeholders from the larger ICANN community. So I also recall seeing an email from Jan on this issue, and it was circulated to the list. And he recommended to make explicit commitments regarding diversity that would address, of course, this issue or the concerns raised by the public comment with regards to, for example, the new proposed accountability bodies, and to indicate also how SOs and ACs in holding the board accountable to the new committee empowerment mechanism are themselves also sufficiently accountable in the exercise of these powers. So this would be the suggestions for Workstream 1 made by Jan, and also he suggested that in Workstream 2 we could include in the CCWG report an itemized list of specific issues and objectives regarding diversity on SO and AC accountability. So I see Greg Shatton's hand is up. Greg, could you please take the floor?
Thank you, Leon. Greg Shatton again. Touching on the diversity group, I think one remark that was made, and I think it was in the open forum, in the public forum, and in Buenos Aires with regard to diversity has to do with disabilities and accessibility to those with various disabilities in terms of keeping things diverse. So I think that's another diverse community or a community that that needs to be acknowledged. There is an accessibility group in the ALAC, or that's been started by ALAC. Other folks are members of working to some extent on accessibility issues, by which meaning accessibility to people with various disabilities. So I think that in addition to everything else we have to keep track of or should be looking at is the mobility and of those with various disabilities. And as we all get older, whether we think of them as disabilities or not, we're all becoming a little less able in the sense of physical capacity. I would also remark, oh, maybe this is just a random remark at this time, but at 2:41 in the morning, I'm starting to think a little bit randomly, that diversity is an issue that really needs to be dealt with at its root. You know, with bringing people into the community, not necessarily trying to make diverse choices from those already in the community, that kind of is dealing with a symptom rather than root causes. And I think another issue with diversity is balancing diversity with other needs, such as availability and expertise and willingness to work, and issues of diversity, especially geographic diversity in groups that aren't organized geographically, can sometimes create unintended consequences. So just a few thoughts there, some less random than others. Thanks.
Thank you very much for your comments, Greg. We also have some comments from Matthew, which were sent in reply to Jan's email. And he said that he would propose maybe to set ICANN into a continuous improvement path regarding diversity and maybe expand the ATRT into accountability, transparency, and diversity reviews. And, of course, this proposal would encompass that the review team would be tasked to assess and make recommendations regarding diversity across all ICANN bodies. And this would be, of course, a simple step that that wouldn't require a lot of effort nor complexity to incorporate into our proposal. And he also suggests that to protect against undue influence from one region in the groups, instead of imposing the strict one vote, one region rule, he's proposing that we could set a limit that each SO or AC could appoint to the community council or review teams no more than one-third of its representatives from a single region. This would ensure in the community council that no region reaches by itself the one-third threshold, with its, which is would be sufficient to block certain votes. So these are the comments from Matthew with regards to Workstream 1 and diversity. And I see Jan's hand is up. So Jan, could you please take the floor?
Yeah, thanks, Jan Schulte. I was going to say the same, Leon, just to remind about Mathieu's suggestions, which seem to me quite sensible. One point is a little bit on the diversity provisions that one would make for the SOAC empowerment mechanism. It's still a little bit hard to stick precise the diversity arrangements because we don't actually know, at least I'm not yet aware, how precisely that SOAC accountability mechanism, empowerment mechanism, is going to be constituted. So it's not, I'm not sure exactly what we're talking about. Is it the 29 members, or is it each constituency is one member? As long as we don't know that, I'm not quite sure what diversity exactly would look like there. The other question from Mathieu has restricted, as I, the minimum, what could look at the regional diversity, and Mathieu's suggestion addresses the regional diversity. Is the group happy that we would limit the diversity provisions at this stage to region? So not actually addressing gender or age or language or culture, etc. I don't have a particular view, but it's just to say maybe one needs to have an explicit decision on how far we're pushing diversity at this stage.
Thank you very much, John. I believe that when Matthew refers to the community council, he's referring to the 29-people body. And I do agree that so far we have been looking at diversity as a regional matter. And in this way, I think that the comment from Sebastian is very useful and very constructive, as it also considers factors as gender, age, and, of course, language with regards to diversity. And I think that what Greg also said with regards to people with some kind of disability would also be important to be taken into account with regards to diversity. So in any case, I think our document or our suggestions should at least, if not establish a fixed set of criteria, at least point these criteria that that we have so far discussed as guidelines or criteria that should be taken into account when trying to address diversity. I note Jonathan's comment on the chat box that it could be an endless cycle of diversity that don't substantially increase overall expertise, and sometimes gender diversity would provide a greater enhancement of expertise than geographic diversity. I do think that we need to set a balance into all factors, and I see Jonathan's hand is up. So, Jonathan, could you please take the floor?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't mean to make typing a substitute for talking. I'm sort of thinking out loud in the chat, I guess. I guess what I would love to see is, as opposed to coming up with a framework for diversity in a generic way, to look at it as a problem facing, look at the, through the lens of the problem being addressed and make sufficient diversity for the problem at hand a requirement so that there's a diversity analysis or something. I'm just thinking out loud here again, that's specific to the issue. And then, so that a kind of diversity requirement gets created on the fly, specific to the discussion at hand. Does that make sense to folks?
Thank you very much, Jonathan. I don't know if there's any reaction to your comment. And I see Cheryl Langdonell is next on the queue. So, Cheryl, could you please take the floor?
Thank you, Cheryl Langdonell, for the record. Jonathan, yes, I like your idea of some sort of, measurement, I guess is too light a word. I always get very concerned when one is becoming too dogmatic about diversity, if it starts to become diversity at all costs. Particularly when we have various models and constructs which are limited in size, so whether we've got a 25 or a 29 person council, for example, you are hard pushed to meet all possible diversity quotients or desirabilities, I suspect, rather than quotients, in that number. I think what we need to do is look at diversity in both aspirational and, in some cases, more hard-coded requirements. And so to that end, the hard-coded requirements may be different depending on what we're looking at in terms of the desirability for the diversity in the accountability, whether or not it's an AC, an SO, or a particular council or activity. I get very concerned when one is so slavish to a diversity rule that you put in, for example, a balanced geographic diversity at the cost of actual talent inclination and people who are motivated to turn up and do the work. And so I think this is constantly a balancing act. So part of the accountability framework could look at a role of continual improvement regarding all of our diversity measures, whereby we have some aspirational goals, and of course in terms of gender, one should look at in all things possible as close to the balance in humankind, which is somewhere around the 50-50 mark. But that's not to say that that has to be a mandated 50-50. So whenever anything gets too far out of balance, we should try and have a mechanism that can redress that. In terms of bringing in newer and here our accessibility work from an ICANN perspective is probably seen as fairly newer aspects of diversity. These should still be seen as important and they need to be worked on. But we do, I think, need to take them as sort of staged implementation roles. So in some cases, we have advisory committees which are by design very geographically balanced. And so the geographic diversity is brought in quite easily. CCNSO Council, for example, and the at-large advisory committee is two examples there. In other situations, we don't have such even geographically valid diversity modelling, and we certainly don't have enough done in the other diversity quotients. But I guess my plea is to see it as a set of both aspirational and occasionally hard-coded requirements, but to not be so slavishly devoted to them that we put in diversity for diversity's sake, as opposed to highly motivated and willing volunteers. For example, in other organisations I'm involved in, we've had particular difficulty getting the under-25s engaged in some of the work, and that's simply because the relevance to that group of the work we're doing is just not seen all that strongly by that age group. So just a cautionary tale, I guess, whereby we need to keep working on it, keep making it highly aspirational and occasionally hard code in if it is needed. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. These are very useful comments indeed. Next on the queue, I have Alan Greenberg. Alan, could you please take the floor?
Thank you very much. I strongly support what Cheryl was saying. Any time we come anywhere near having quotas, we invariably end up suffering from it. And remember, probably the largest single problem we have in ICANN is not a rogue board. It's getting enough volunteers to actually do the work. And we struggle in all parts of ICANN with that, and in some cases really severely struggle with it. And we have to keep on remembering that that's why we want people here to actually do work, not just to be able to tick off boxes. And we want to make sure we don't have barriers to participation and to allowing people from different backgrounds to participate. The largest single disability that people have with regard to ICANN is not speaking English. And, you know, we're not going to fix that. We're never going to have the kind of translation and interpretation facilities that the EU has or the United Nations have. There just isn't going to be enough money for that. So we're going to have to keep on working on it. But as soon as you start putting, anything close to quotas in, we have real problems. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alan. Next in the queue, I have Jonathan Sook. Jonathan?
Thanks for having me back again. It's always good to come back to this stage. I guess there's two points I'd like to make. One is that for example, I'm part of a work group right now which is trying to somewhat systematically evolve the culture of policy development is that ICANN to make more use of data and metrics in policy development. And we're doing that by building language into the templates that are used for issue reports, work group chartering, final reports, and then also plans for continuous improvement. And in each and every case, it's something along the lines of, look at the availability and feasibility of incorporating data into the analysis of this issue, et cetera, so that it becomes an explicit aspiration as opposed to just an implicit one that we deal with in the abstract. And I think I'm supportive of that notion of looking at it on a case-by-case basis and seeing are there sufficient voices being heard for this particular issue being discussed. And that sort of becomes the duty of the group to look at that issue to make sure there's enough voices being heard. I'm inclined to agree with both Alan and Cheryl on anything that looks like a quota or anything else. And I think in some ways where this aspiration is best expressed is in our efforts to increase overall participation in ICANN and its policy development processes. And I think that's a much bigger issue we need to look at. As Alan suggested, it's about the availability of volunteers. But I'm not opposed to having a dedicated effort to getting more women involved, in ICANN, or getting more folks from Asia involved in ICANN generally, which will have a natural effect of greater involvement in a particular SO or AC, and that maybe that some of this needs to happen at the participation level generally, as opposed to any kind of requirements that could be too dogmatic in a particular policy development process.
Thank you very much, Jonathan. Next in the queue, I have Jen. Jen, could you please take the floor?
Yeah, thank you, Leon. I think all the points being made about certainly one doesn't want to have quotas, one doesn't want to have slavish adherence to certain criteria. And there may indeed be struggle to get volunteers, though the struggle to get volunteers is probably not purely a function of the willingness of people to be involved. As Alan says, language issues can be an issue. The fact that the staff is predominantly Euro-American, that the location of ICANN is in the United States, a number of these things will also inhibit wider participation. One has to look at the participation. I certainly have no truck with the motivation, the goodwill, the talents, etc., of those who are involved in ICANN at the moment. And it's not a comment about that. It's just to say I'm quite sure, I would imagine, that there can be found talents, inclination, motivation, etc., in other circles if it is more actively cultivated. At the moment, I just looked at a list of Internet users by country. The list of countries goes China first, USA second, India third, Japan fourth, Brazil fifth, Russia sixth, Germany seventh, Nigeria eighth. And I look around at the room in ICANN proceedings, and it's nowhere close to that kind of distribution at all. And surely there must be something possible to move a bit more in those kind of directions. It's not a question that there isn't talent, inclination, and motivation in China, India, etc. I'm sure there is. One has to find it and cultivate it and bring it in.
Thank you very much, Jim. Next in the queue, I have Greg Sutton. Greg, could you please take the floor?
Thanks. I think that Jan's remarks are very helpful in that it points to the relationship between the desires for diversity and the needs for outreach and engagement. Indeed, I think any discussion about diversity without talking about how we expand the pool of people involved is troubling to me, because it indicates that we may try to artificially massage the pool that we have so that
the distribution is dealt with other than by general self-selection, as most of our processes tend to be involved. In other words, the gluttons for punishment that will be up past their bedtime to do such things. So I think that we really need to include, I'd rather see us talk about making explicit commitments to outreach and engagement. I think making explicit commitments regarding diversity with regard to drawing from the pool we have should be avoided. We can have goals. We can have aspirations. We can strive to achieve certain things. But unless we have a balanced pool, attempts to create some sort of diversity balance, you know, run into exclusionary rather than inclusionary efforts and concerns. So I think that we really do need to figure out how we draw people in. And let's also keep in mind that ICANN is not ISOC. It's not a general internet club. It relates to domain name policy primarily, certainly, and to name number policy, and, you know, in specific technical and technically policy related matters. So those interests aren't necessarily evenly distributed where internet users are distributed. But that also has to do with education, outreach, and the like. And I think, you know, in my group, we've made some efforts at that. And I note that our most recent members come from Serbia, Macedonia, Ukraine, and India. So that is a different look to the intellectual property constituency that hopefully over time will bear fruit. But that's without any huge efforts, but taking advantage of several small opportunities through fellowships, through CROP, through relationships with some of our membership organizations that have very diverse memberships. But without outreach and engagement, discussions about diversity become troubling rather than empowering, or they risk that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Greg. Next in the queue, I have Alan. Alan, could you please take the floor?
Thank you very much. I just realized as we were talking that one of the issues that ALAC has suffered most from in terms of having difficulty getting people to be active participants is something that we haven't mentioned at all. And it's curiously related to the first half of this call about talking about documenting all of our rules and procedures. Our rules and procedures, in fact, are one of the impediments, because when you're looking at people from different parts of the world, and I'm echoing the speech Cheryl normally gives, we have cultures that do not work the way ICANN works. They do not feel comfortable talking in certain environments. They do not necessarily feel comfortable putting everything in writing. They do not feel comfortable in confrontational situations where people are debating and you know, trying to see whose position wins. So we can't forget that as we go forward. The very things that we were pushing in the first half of this meeting as justifying our accountability, in some cases, are the impediments which stop participation from certain cultures. It's a complex world we're living in. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alan. I see Greg's hand is up. I don't know if that's an old hand or a new hand. Okay, so that was an old hand. Okay, so we've discussed the diversity issue in this call as part of our agenda items. And now I would like to call for a volunteer, a very brave volunteer, to kick off a document with regards to diversity. Is there anyone brave enough to volunteer to set up our first draft on how we could address the diversity issue?
no volunteers for this?
Well, not before the Paris meeting, put it that way.
I see Sebastian hand this up, and since he said that he was unable to speak, I assume that he is volunteering for this. Could you please confirm in the chat box or with a greeting, Sebastian? Excellent. So we have a volunteer, and I really thank you for volunteering, Sebastian. And we would be expecting your draft, so we could of course help you in a collaborative manner as usual. So with this, we've pretty much covered our agenda, and now I would open the floor for any other business. And if there's anyone that wants to bring up any other business at this point, you are most welcome to raise your hand and voice out your concerns. And I note that Sebastian is telling us that it will not be ready for the next call, as he will be on a plane. But nevertheless, we do, or at least I do, thank you for volunteering. So are there any other business that anyone wants to raise at this point? Okay, so seeing no one raised their hand for any other business, I would like to thank you all for your attendance to the call. It was scheduled for 90 minutes. We're just 6 minutes past the hour, so I think many of us will be grateful that we will have at least 20 minutes more for sleep and some others 20 minutes back of their time for doing anything you want. So we can have this call adjourned at this point. Thank you, everyone, and talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.